Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme in this week's League of Ireland chat, we'll be hearing from Finn Harps assistant coach Kevin McHugh. Plus, he'll be giving us a rundown on how the academies at the club are progressing at the moment. Sean McVeigh will look ahead to the county's hurlers' next assignment, which is against Roscommon this coming Saturday, where they know a win will book a place in the All-Ireland Nicky Rackard Cup final for the Donegal hurlers. But first of all, we're going to look forward to the big one. The excitement and anticipation has had a new heights again with Donegal supporters as the county returns to the Ulster final this coming Sunday. Jim McGuinness has guided Donegal back to the provincial decider in his first year of his second term. Standing in their way of a first title since 2019 is Armagh, a side which lost last year's decider to Derry on penalties. Well, Glenfinn's Frank McGlynn is an All-Ireland winner from 2012 and won the last of his five Ulster medals back in 2019. And he joins us now on the programme to preview the big game. Frank, you're welcome back to the airwaves of Highland.
Yeah, thanks very much, Oisin. Great to be back ahead of another Ulster final in bonus.
Yeah, and it's nice to be going to the final. Did you expect such a quick turnaround, Frank, when Jim McGuinness came in? Because we were at a very low ebb this time last year and now we find ourselves in an Ulster final. It's going to be sold out. The buzz around the county is back again. Did you think it was going to happen so quick with Jim at the helm that we would find ourselves in this position?
Yeah, I suppose definitely. You probably always expected an improvement, definitely, whenever Jim took over. And I suppose, as you said, Donegal were in Ulster final there in 22 and probably lost the Ulster final in 2020 as well. So I suppose the players have probably been always kind of thereabouts this past number of years. But definitely when the draw was made, I suppose, going away to Derry, you know, and with facing a possible game against, you know, Tyrone Monaghan maybe or Tyrone in the semi-final, it was kind of going to be a huge improvement in order to get back to Clonus. But fair play to the, you know, the players and management that are putting in the work. They've got themselves back into Ulster final day in Clonus, and I know from working with Jim before, the Ulster final is always going to be that number one priority at the beginning of every year.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. What's it like preparing for an Ulster final under Jim McGuinness? What's it like in the days leading up to an Ulster final, Frank?
Yeah, I suppose it's just the preparation days. You know, they're probably not something that's sticking in your memory. You know, you're so focused and so consumed with, you know, your preparation and thinking towards the game and what your roles are, what possible scenarios could play out. But again, I suppose with the training behind all the players and the preparation they've done, I've no doubt that they're going to be enjoying it because they're going to be, I suppose, going into the game full of confidence and probably full of belief in their own ability and probably their own preparation that they've done up until this point. And I suppose the only one thing you probably always hope is that things go your way on the day and you get to show what preparation and what hard work that you've put in up until this point. And I've no doubt, I suppose, when Donegal get to the Ulster final, I'd be hoping they'll be putting their best foot forward from word go.
Yeah. You've had some big days for Donegal and some disappointing ones as well, Frank. And listen, you met Armagh on regular occasions, so you did. They're always huge games when you come across the Orchard County.
Yeah, I suppose every game, regardless whether that's, I suppose, been kind of Cup or National Football League or indeed Championship, you know, anytime you meet Armagh, you're always going to be challenged, so you are, and it's no different to the Armagh of nowadays as well. You know, themselves and Donegal have met twice previous, you know, between the league and the National Football League, you know, and there's only been a point between the two teams. And I suppose when you get to an Ulster final, you very rarely get them handy. You know, the scoreboard might reflect an easy one, but there's no game going to be won easy in Ulster final day, and the hard work just has to be put in, especially at the beginning of the game, just to get settled in. And I've no doubt both Armagh and Donegal will be, I suppose, gearing towards that first 10-15 minutes to get settled into the game and put their mark on the on the game.
Yeah, because they're always feisty affairs that we've seen previously. But when you're going into a game of this magnitude now, is the pressure more so on Armagh, do you think, Frank, the fact that they haven't actually had provincial success under Kieran McGeaney, and Donegal's quite happy to enter this Ulster final with that sort of pressure not on the shoulders?
Well, I suppose, yeah, probably looking at it from a neutral point of view, you know, that the improvement in Donegal since Jim's taken over has been massive. So it has, and I suppose unless Armagh won on Sunday, probably people are going to point and say there hasn't been much progress made in Armagh this year. Whereas I suppose if Donegal come out on the losing side on Sunday, people are going to point towards the change and the progress that has already been made, and they have something there to build on into the Sam Maguire Championship, into the All-Ireland Championship afterwards. But and saying that, that's only going to be from neutrals looking in each camp respectively. You know, they're both going to begin in expecting to win this game. Donegal, having defeated Derry and Tyrone, are certainly not going to want to let an Ulster title slip after going to Derry and beating Derry in their backyard and then coming out against Tyrone in a tough battle. And the same is going to be said for Armagh. They do realise, you know, having lost last year's final, you know, that they're probably desperate to get over the line in a final, and you know, losing the league final narrowly to Donegal is probably going to be an extra incentive for them to really go at this game. And you know, I suppose any game Armagh step out onto the pitch, they go with that aggression, and no doubt they're going to be coming with huge aggression and physicality again come Sunday, and it's probably something that Donegal is going to be well prepared for.
What's impressed you about Donegal this year, Frank? Who's sort of stood out for you? They're going into this game unbeaten, which is in a nice place to be, so it is.
I suppose it's probably the most impressive thing is you know, taking the two championship games to date and looking solely in them. I think it's just the fact that, you know, both days, you know, some of our more senior players, you know, like Ryan McHugh and those, really stood up in the first day out. But I suppose in the Tyrone game as well, you know, we had match winners and we had people, you know, trying to get up the field and play a huge part in the game. You know, there was nobody taking a back seat on the team. All 15 on the pitch were going forward and we're going to try and win the game. I suppose that could be epitome, I suppose, in the equalising point in normal time. You know, you had Mark Curran up challenging with the goalkeeper and the ball breaking to Brendan McCall for the equalising point. And it shows that, I suppose, the drive was coming from all over the pitch. You know, and probably an individual perspective, you know, the likes of Jason McGee and Keelan McGonigal have been huge about the middle of the field. You know, Jason especially against Tyrone there at a massive time when Tyrone were probably 3 points in front. You know, we come up with two great scores, you know, to bring Donegal back into the game. And it's probably small moments like that are going to decide the winning and the losing of big games. And so far, I suppose that's the most impressive thing. We've had the big players, you know, that stood up at the big times in games, and hopefully that'll be the same come Sunday.
You mentioned the All-Ireland series there, Frank. Does it have any sort of impact on the way the teams are preparing for this game? Some might throw it up. It's easier to be in this group when you go to All-Ireland series, so you're better off in this group. Is that any factor at all in it?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe it could be spoken about outside of the respective camps, but I think when you're if you're in that Armagh panel or that Donegal panel, and part of that, it's the furthest thing probably from your mind, you know. And I suppose as someone who's won an Ulster medal, you know, the boost that you get from winning Ulster, you know, I don't think it really matters what group you head into. If you're heading into a group as Ulster champions, you're in the right place. So you are. The difference is day and night in winning and losing that Ulster final. So it is, and sometimes it can be a huge challenge to recover from it. So I don't think the draw or the prospective groups that you could possibly end up in will have any bearing on what preparation or what mindset any of those players will have going into the game on Sunday.
But if you do go into the All-Ireland series as Ulster champions, Frank, you carry serious momentum, so you do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and the confidence that you're going to garner among the group, you know, from, you know, Donegal, you know, it's back in 2019, and for some of these players, they have already Ulster medals, but for some of these players, they're going for their first Ulster medal, you know, and there's a good mix of experience in the camp, and, you know, getting that, I suppose, Ulster medal that they can probably, you know, call their own as a group, you know, that they've achieved together, and especially the route that Donegal have come through in the Ulster Championship, you know, that it's going to do them, you know, no end of good, you know, with an Ulster medal in their back pocket heading into the All-Ireland series.
We don't have a crystal ball, Frank, but got into this game, how can you see it panning out? Who's going to be lifting that cup at the end?
I can see both teams. You know, they've come off maybe. You know, both teams have come through semi-finals that probably haven't set the world alight performance-wise or entertainment-wise. You know, with regards to free flow and football. And I would love to say that I can see it being an open game and free flow and football, but I just don't think it's going to pan out that way. I think both these counties and teams are probably desperate to win the Ulster title. You know, and it might well. Show that desperation or that desire to win a game, you know, in the first 10 minutes where it could be a bit of a cagey affair. But I do think with the players on the pitch and the physicality of the players, I do think that midfield battle is going to be huge. You know, Tyrone probably didn't press as much in the Donegal kick out in the semi-final. And I suppose on the other end, then down Armagh was pretty cagey as well, where they didn't really leave themselves open at the back line. But I'm looking forward to those big moments in the first 15-20 minutes of the second half, when the game hopefully will still be in the melting pot, and what team's really gonna open up and go for it. And that's probably the one positive, I think, with Donegal. You know, even when they were behind against Tyrone, they were still going forward, you know, with huge drive and huge pace, trying to get the scores, and inevitably that's what probably won them the game in extra time. They kept going forward for the scores.
Listen, Frank, many thanks for joining us, and we're all hoping, of course, for a Donegal win at the weekend. Enjoy the football in Clonus, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks very much, Arsene. Thank you.
It's always good to catch up with Frank McGlynn, and of course, if you can't make the game this coming Sunday, tune in Highlands Way. We'll have the build-up from 3:30, and then the big game live. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh and Brendan Devaney, and full coverage from the Ulster Final brought to you in association with Highland Motors Mountaintop in Letterkenny. I see today that Donegal star Ryan McHugh has been nominated for the PWC GPA Footballer of the Month Award for April. McHugh had a superb month and was magnificent as Donegal defeated both Derry and Tyrone in the Ulster Championship. The other two nominees are Dublin's Paul Mannion and Ryan O'Donoghue of Mayo. McHugh, of course, at the start of the month was voted the GA Player of the Week following his performance against Tyrone at Celtic Park as Donegal booked their place into that provincial decider. Well, the Donegal hurlers returned to action on Saturday when they hit the road to take on Roscommon in their penultimate game in the Nicky Rackard Cup. They are unbeaten this campaign, and a place in the final at Croke Park on the June Bank holiday weekend will be secured if they win at Dr. Hyde Park. It may not be straightforward for Mickey McCann's side, as Roscommon have also won their three games to date. Sean McVeigh is back in the Donegal fold, having stepped away last year. The St Unions man has been telling Ryan Ferry they need to be ready for a fight in Roscommon.
I think we're happy enough in terms of, you know, we've got 6 points on the board and we've won the three games. I think, you know, we wouldn't have been overly happy with our first outing away in Armagh, and we kind of spoke as a group of players ourselves and kind of said that we need to drive things on a bit and raise it up a bit in training. And I think we've responded since then, and we've been training well, and we've put in a couple of decent performances now against Mayo and then against Monaghan at the weekend. So we're looking forward now to the Roscommon game. We've a 2 week break, I suppose, between the Monaghan and Roscommon game, and we've got a bit more work done this week.
Talk to us about maybe the difference in quality and standards in this championship, because obviously you had a really tough game against Mayo. And then you play Monaghan, who have been struggling in the league and the championship. You know, is it hard for the players to keep the focus there when they're such overwhelming favourites, or is it just process driven at this stage?
I suppose it's that cliche. It is kind of process driven, and there's also the fact, you know, we've got a very competitive squad. So if you drop off, you know, not only could you find yourself out of the 15, but you could find yourself out of the 26 in the match day. Like, so there's no real room to kind of, you know, rest up for a week, because somebody can very easily just come in and take your place. And we're playing games out there in the pitch, and, you know, there's never more than a point or two between it. So, you know, every single man here is more than capable of doing their job. So you can't really afford to rest in your laurels too much from a player's perspective, because there's somebody there to kind of jump in, you know.
Yeah, you stepped away from the team last year. Did you miss it at this time of the season when, you know, when the big games were coming and, you know, it was getting to the latter stages of the championship?
To be honest, the first couple of months, you know, and right up nearly until the Nicky Rackard final, I didn't miss it a while last, if I'm being honest. I just, I've always been the type of person that would be, you know, bouncing back at the start of the year, kind of ringing around the lads saying we're ready to go again. And I just didn't have it in me last year, and kind of felt that maybe mentally was a bit tired and had a lot on at work, and a young daughter Aoife there as well. So probably didn't feel that I had it in me, but I suppose when we got to the Nicky Racker stage and I seen the Sonny Day and Croker, I kind of missed it. And getting back playing with the club then and getting a wee run in Ulster kind of got that little bit of buzz back and felt there's probably more to give, you know.
Yeah, the prize for winning your games and getting through to the final is another big day in Croke Park. You were saying in there that maybe 6 or 7 times you've played there already, like, and you know, to get back to headquarters for this team, I'm sure it's a huge target.
It's obviously a huge target. It's one of the, I suppose, the benefits of getting to a Nicky Rackard final is that it is in Croke Park. And you know, Croke Park, Turles, basically got there. You grow up watching big games in those venues with, you know, the likes of Kilkenny and Carks and Tips and all these big teams. And you want to go there and test yourself there in big days. And lucky enough, I've been able to do it, and most of the lads have been able to do it quite a few times at this stage. But I suppose the bigger goal for this group and the goal for the last number of years has been to just keep pushing Donegal hurling on. And really and truly, what we want is to get up to Christy Ring level. We've got Division 2 level next year, and that's our goal. But look, that goal could be derailed next week if we don't go down to Roscommon fully focused and ready to battle out for another win, you know.
Do you think there's the talent within the training, the 32 players out there tonight, to play at Christy Ring level and hold your own at that standard?
Without a doubt. I think they're more than capable. I think, you know, you'd be capable of pushing for the higher ends of a Christy Ring. You know, you get everybody bought in and you're driving at it. You know, we regularly play against Christy Ring teams in the league and take wins and run, have very tight games. So I don't think we'd be fazed by getting to that level, but I suppose we have to get there first. But look, we see ourselves as a Christy Ring team. Look, I suppose the way things have worked, we've won 3 Nicky records, but kind of twice they were restructuring and we didn't get promotion out of that. So we're probably a little bit in the back of your mind, you think, where could Donegal Hurling be if you did get those promotions? So we're just kind of focused on trying to get back there and kind of stay at that level. But again, you could very easily, if you've been there before, you could easily kind of find yourself in Roscommon scratching the head unless you turn up and perform, you know.
Yeah, and you've had, you know, many duels with the Roscommon down through the years. You're away to them. So, you know, what are you expecting from that match?
I expect a very tough game. I think we played them down there in Hyde Park in the league. We got a good start and then they clawed us back and ended up going 3-3 ahead. And look, they're a very good hurling team. They can move the ball very well. They're physical, you know, they're very good in the air. You know, they can win a lot of clean possession. So yeah, unless we're ready for the fight, you know, Roscommon will play a bit of hurling and play around us, like, so we have to match that first of all. But look, I've no doubt if we turn up with the right attitude and we turn up and play the way we can, there's no reason why we won't be coming up the road with 2 points and heading for a final. But it's just doing that, you know.
And Sean McVeigh, who was speaking to Ryan Ferry off the Donegal News for Highland Radio Sport. All 3 northwest counties are in action hurling-wise this weekend. Also on Saturday in the Christy Ring, both Derry and Tyrone are at home. Tyrone are taking on Kildare and Derry are taking on London, as Derry, of course, chase a place in the Nicky Rackard final. Football-wise for Tyrone, they're playing Roscommon at Breffni Park in Cavan at 5 o'clock on Saturday in the semi-final of the All-Ireland Under-20 Football Championship. In the other semi-final earlier in the day on Saturday, Meath are taking on a Kerry. And Tyrone are involved in the Ulster Minor Football Championship quarter-final, where they take on Cavan. That one's at 12 noon at Healy Park on Saturday. The other quarter-final is Armagh against Monaghan, and that one's at the Athletic Grounds. Both Derry and Donegal have already progressed to the semi-finals. There's a full programme of all county league action to come on Saturday. In Division 1, there is 3 teams tied at the top on 8 points, St Union's, Gweedore and Neamhconnell. 2 of those will meet on Saturday down at Matragallan, Gweedore hosting Neamhconnell at 7:30. The other side that shares top spot is St Union's and they play Mallon at 6:30. In Division 2, the leaders are Killybegs. They welcome Dunloe to Fintra. Second place Termin are on the road as they go to the Cross to play Red Hughes. And 4 Masters, who are 3rd in the standings, are at home at Tyrconnell Park against Fanad Gaels. While among the games in Division 3, the joint leaders are Convoy and Carndonagh, both of home ties on Saturday evening. Convoy took on Letterkenny Gaels and Carndonagh are playing Neave Ulton. And there's 3 further games to come in the Donegal Senior Hurling League tomorrow evening, Friday. Dunloe are up against Éirua, Carndonagh meet Buncrana and St Union's face off against Burt. Okay, it's time for an ad break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be talking League of Ireland football.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. As we turn our attention to football, and in our League of Ireland chat this week, we've been speaking with Fin Harps coach Kevin McHugh. Harps host Longford Town on Friday evening in Ballybuffet, looking to bounce back from their fourth defeat in five games at the hands of Bray. Kevin is also the head of academy at Harps. Firstly, he's been telling Chris Ashmore the Harps underage teams have been getting a good level of football this year.
From all the games that I've seen, and I've been involved with all the groups, most of the groups we got this year, like you would have top teams throughout them, like your Shelburne, St. Pat's, Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, Bowes, Derry. We've got them all. And that's what you want. Like the last few years, we've maybe got a lot of teams from down the west of the country and down the Midlands. But this year we've been paired with the best of the best down in Dublin. So really, really good. Yes, there's been a few scorelines that maybe teams have been just a wee bit too strong for us on certain days. But that's what we have to get used to. That's the bar that's been set, and that's the beauty of these national leagues. You're getting exposed, and our players are getting exposed to those high levels of teams on a weekly basis. So, yeah, I can't complain that way, because that's what they're for. They're not for winning trophies. They're not for boys to maybe do certain bits and pieces or put themselves in the shop window. It is for development, but it is to expose them to the levels and can they step up to the mark. Because if you're not at yourself and looking after yourself during the week and doing stuff away from park and away from the training grounds on your own, then you're going to be showing up, and because other teams are doing it. And it is a tough ask for a lot of players, because the National Leagues is tough, and because there's a lot of travelling involved and there's a game every single week. So it's good. It gets them well schooled for the League Ireland in general, because there's a lot of travelling, as you know, Chris.
Yeah, so I take it, you know, there's a fair bit of self-discipline as well for the guys. They have their own individual responsibilities as well as just turning up for training.
Yeah, absolutely. They have their own homework drills to do and their conditioning and how they look after themselves. A lot of them play other sports with schools, and they play football at school as well. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be looked after and make sure they're doing their proper work and to make sure they're okay for the weekend they play with us. So all that goes into it. And like at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to teach them, good habits, no matter what level they play at. Like, because like we have 20 players in most age groups throughout the years. Is all those players going to go to the first team when they come to the end of the food chain? Probably not, and it's not the same at any other club around the country and around the world. It's not. You might have one or two some years, you might have three or four if you're really, really lucky. So the rest of the boys are trying to instill really good habits, whatever level they do go and play at, and that's they've learned a lot while they're here, and have obviously developed as a player and as a person, you know.
Yeah, so just remind us again just how many underage teams Harps currently have.
We have four boys that play in the National League. We've obviously got three development squads that are below those, 11s, 12s, 13s. So we have 14s, 15s, 17s, and it's rebranded this year to the 20s. And even though most of our boys are all probably still under 18. And then obviously we've got the women's 17s and the women's 19s that the Academy Dead looks after, you know.
So there's a lot going on behind the scenes to keep the show on the road. In terms of facilities, Kevin, and the home games with the teams, where do they generally play?
At the moment, the majority of our games for the boys have been playing out of the community centre in Letterkenny. Then we've got the girls who play at Ballyar and Elliston and the community centre. So we kind of float around them all. Swim Park, I would say, in the next couple of weeks. Good weather comes around, Swim Park will hold a couple of games a weekend, no problem. So we'll get the teams in there as well for games. It's always good to expose them to the bigger pitch and that surface, you know.
Yeah, and for the away games, when you're up against the likes of Shells and Pats and Dundalk and Bowes, do you play at their sort of training grounds, or are some games played at the League of Ireland?
Yeah,
grounds?
That's a really good question. Somebody actually asked me that a few weeks ago, like these, because we played in Swim Park, and I didn't realise, like, next to Drogheda there, they were buzzing to get playing in Swim Park. Like Shelburne don't get to play in Tolka. That's just probably because most of those teams that we're talking about has a women's senior team in the league as well, and they play they play alternative weeks, so there's a game on it every single weekend, and the pitches need to be looked after. So maybe when the good weather comes, Chris, the pitches will be opened up a wee bit more for the boys and girls squads, underage teams, because that's where they're aspiring to play, so it's great for them to get playing in those stadiums and those pitches, you know.
So I take it you're also constantly going from maybe AstroTurf to grass and then back to AstroTurf. Is that a difficulty?
It is, and we had that issue with the first team over probably that period where you would have seen we would have had an injury list maybe up to about 6 or 7 players, and we don't have a big squad, as Darren has alluded to. And it's the exact same thing for underage when you're training on AstroTurf the whole way through the winter, and then you switch to grass, and there obviously has to be a give there somewhere. So at those, we do pick up injuries at underage, and we do pick up injuries at senior team when you're flipping between both. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do at the moment because we don't own our own facilities, and we're renting facilities at the minute, and you must just make do with what you have, you know.
Yep. I suppose it's all about this player pathway and players stepping up as the years go on and into the different teams. We've also seen a number of the academy players breaking into the first team. So, you know, that's very positive for everybody involved, and not just the players. I mean, other people will look at them, and it shows that the process in many respects is working.
Yeah, I know I've said it before, and Murph has said it numerous times. This is where we are as a club. And the chairman has come in and he's changed a lot of stuff in the background, and he's doing tremendous work there. He's a big club man. He's not coming in just to win trophies. He's coming in to make sure that every year we're improving certain aspects of the club. And he's made no bones about it. His main thing is to make sure we get these facilities over the line. And with that comes budget costs, all the rest, and you need to invest in your own facility so we have something for the future for everybody. So with that comes opportunity, and the same anywhere around the world when people are, you have to look within, and to be fair, we've looked within over the last couple of years, and players have come in and they've stepped up to the mark, and like say Oisin Cooney, and like say Derek Hoy, Max Johnson, Sean O'Donnell, Aaron McLaughlin. All these players have stepped up over the last couple of years, and they're now getting regular game time, and they're really adding to our team. And that's what you want. They're local boys that want to play for Finn Harps, and it gives really good confidence and good belief to the group down below them that if they work hard enough, that they will get a chance as well. And that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of getting international caps and breaking through onto the Irish teams at the underage levels, I take it the key personnel at the various age groups, you know, they are regularly going to the League of Ireland underage games.
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones. That's where years ago, when Brexit came in, players couldn't go to England and sign until they're 18. And with that, again, comes an advantage for League Ireland clubs, because now players are able to stay longer. They're a wee bit more mature, as in they're still living at home, but they're getting their education, they're getting their leaving cert, they're even going to third level college, and they're still playing with us. So teams in England then look at them and go, Christ, they've got maybe 20 to 30 games at senior football, men's game in the League Ireland, and that's much more beneficial to them than 20 or 30 games at under 18s or 21s. In academy football in England. So all that has to be taken into account. And I think as the years go on, it's going to get stronger and stronger.
And Kevin, players like Gavin McAteer making big strides this season?
Yeah, he came in pre-season and played against Strabane Athletic. A really tight game for us, and he came on and he looked like he's been playing at that level all his life. Not a problem then, 15 years of age, very technically gifted kid with the right attitude. So obviously Murph has kept an eye on him and his progress with the 17s. And we've, as I said earlier in the interview, we've been down a lot of bodies over the last number of months, especially in the front area of the pitch. And we see Gavin as somebody we will definitely be looking to utilise. Gavin was on the bench the last day, and if we needed him, he'd have been on Murph would have thrown him in, no problem at all. And as Murph always says, age is only a number. And if he needs to play him, he will play him. And I think that's, I think it's for Finn Harps fans and for people that really love the club and people who are really interested in the development of the club, I think that's a brilliant thing for, just to have that belief that your head coach has no problem throwing a kid in. And no matter what the result is, no matter what stage of the game it is. And for me, I'm kind of doing a dual role, obviously, with assistant Darren and head of the academy. Fantastic for the club that way as well, you know. So then you have people in Dublin that are in the international squad, or they sit up and take notice. They go, who's this kid coming on at Harps? They must have a bit about him, you know. So with all this, comes serious advantages, and but it's up to the likes of Murph and myself to help them take advantage of all that, you know.
Yeah, so much has changed. I'm just thinking, what, if we go back, was it 2004, 20 years ago, Harps won the first division, and the club then probably had a first team, maybe an Ulster Senior League team, and I can't even remember, was there any underage then?
No, that was it, that was it. You're correct, that was it. It was Ulster Senior League and first team. There was no other teams. And then the FAI started to introduce teams as they went along. I think the seven teams of the first league, and then they moved it up. So it'll take another few years. It's still it's a very young academy system in Ireland, comparing to every other country. And with more investment and obviously with time and more expertise at each club, I can only see it getting stronger and stronger. Long may it last, and I think the football industry in Ireland will grow, but obviously it's well documented that it just needs investment. And we can be in power with our peers in England without a shadow of a doubt, you know.
So just while we have you on, Kevin, just looking ahead to the weekend, Harps at home to Longford in the first division of the SSE Airtricity League, and after losing to Bray last week, Longford, well, they've had their troubles this season, but people will be hoping, no doubt, including yourself, obviously, that this is... I suppose a game you feel that you really need to be getting the 3 points at Finn Park.
Yeah, well, come here, and Darren's with this in numerous interviews. There's literally every team we played this year, and including Monday night, even though we weren't up and at ourselves in the first half, second half was more like us, and probably deserved an equaliser in the game, probably no more than taking a point from the game, but every game this year, we can't say we've dominated from first minute to last. There's very little between the teams. Every team is about a quality in certain positions, and if they're on their game, they'll cause you bother, and Longford's no different. They've got the first one last week, and they'll be chomping at the bit to go again. They'll fancy themselves coming to Finn Park, but as you alluded to, we're at home, and the onus is on us, and we need to start probably winning more for home games. Unfortunately, we've still got a few injuries, and they're hopefully close to coming back in the next number of weeks, but at the moment, we just have to assess everybody over the next 24 hours. We had a few knocks from Monday after the Bray game, and we have to evaluate those as well. So home games, you're obviously looking for your 3 points, but it's a lot easier said than done in this league. Nobody running away with it, and you get two ones in a row, you jump up two or three places, you have a couple of losses, you just drop down two or three places. And I think that's the way it's going to be. It's not like last year where Galway and Waterford ran away with it. I certainly feel Cork will eventually end up winning it, but they're not going to get it all their own way. Certainly, there's going to be an absolute scrap then behind them for those four playoff places. Literally, anybody can beat anybody on the day. So to me, it's as good as, same as the Premier Division, it's as good as Premier Division that I've seen in my time in the League Ireland, and it's as strong as First Division as I've seen. So really competitive, and every point you won is a point well earned, Chris.
As you touched on there, you know, Cork, not like Galway or Waterford last season, you know, Cork are grinding out the results, they're top of the table with some comfort, but they're being pushed in most of their games, and then we look at the Premier, and I think Shelburne have only won 1 in 9, and yet they're still at the summit. And when we had Galway and Waterford both notching up good away wins last weekend, as you say, it's very competitive, and it's far too early to be calling anything.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to run away with the Premier Division either. Obviously, it's going to be between three sides. And at the moment, it looks like it's going to be between Derry, Shamrock Rovers and Shell. So, First Division, as you say, I do think Cork is going to have that wee bit more, and they'll probably invest a wee bit more in July, and they will probably eventually win it, but not by the margins it was won last year. And then the rest will be definitely, and I do call it a scrap, because I do think it's going to go right to the wire, and who's going to get into these playoff spots. Kinnear, it's a challenge we've put to the group weeks ago, and we reinforced it tonight at the team meeting, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the at least try and get into that playoff spot. And obviously we had a really decent start to the league, and we took a wee blip over the last couple of weeks, but we need to pick ourselves up now and go again, because as I said, every point is well earned in this league, and we just need to start gathering more points in this phase two of games, you know?
Kevin McHugh talking lots of football with Chris Ashmore. So those fixtures in the First Division this weekend, Van Harps are up against Longford Town tomorrow night. It starts at 7:45, and we will have updates from that tie with Jeremy Doherty here on Highland. The other four games also started at 7:45 with Treaty United against Wexford, Kerry up against UCD, Cove Ramblers take on Cork City in the Derby, and Athlone Town are playing Bray Wanderers. In the Premier Division, Derry City host Bohemians at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium tomorrow night, Friday, and the home side will be looking to keep pace at the top of the table. The Candy Stripes have picked up 2-1s and 2 draws since the defeat against Shamrock Rovers, and only Shelburne's late equaliser last Monday denied the side going atop off the table. Derry have lost 3 games this season, and one of those has been to Bowes. Alan Reynolds, of course, was Rory Higgins' right-hand man at Derry for nearly a year and a half before departing the Brandywell in April of last year. Since then, Reynolds has taken up the managerial reins at Daly Mount Park, so it certainly makes for an interesting tie tomorrow night. Derry against Bowes kicks off at 7:45. That's one of 5 games in the top flight. Elsewhere, there's another Dublin derby. Shamrock Rovers against St Patrick's Athletic. St Pat's, of course, sacked their manager earlier this week. Waterford play Dundalk. Shelburne take on Drogheda United. And Galway United are facing Sligo Rovers in yet another Connacht derby. Locally in football, in the Donegal Junior League, the Voodoo Cup semi-finals are taking place on Saturday at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. 2 o'clock kick-off here. Drogheda United play Strand Rovers, and Drumbar are up against Glencar United. While in the Saturday League promotion relegation playoffs, Erne Wanderers are facing Milford United, and Swilly Rovers are up against Fintown Harps. Those games both start at 2 o'clock. The winners of the first match between Erne and Milford United, they will be in Division 2 next year, and the winners of the Swilly Fintown Harps game will play in Division 1. Then on Sunday, the Brian McCormick Cup Donegal area final is on. Capri Rovers against St Catharines, and the Letterkenny area decider is also taking place, with Swilly Rovers playing Letterkenny Rovers, and both of those games kick off at 1 o'clock. Big matches as well this weekend down in Inishowen following their FAI Junior Cup national success last weekend. Cockhill Celtic have to regroup and get back on the pitch on Saturday evening. McGinn Park is the venue for the Clubman Church League Cup final, and the opposition for Cockhill will be Greencastle. 5 o'clock is the kickoff time there. Extra time and penalties if required. And it's a similar situation for the Father O'Gara Cup final, which is on a Sunday. Extra time and penalties if required will take place. 2 o'clock is the start time. Cockhill Youths are taking on Redcastle United. Finally, on the cricket front in the Northwest, it's going to be a busy weekend club-wise, because the Northwest Senior Cup first round matches are taking place on Saturday. Ardmore take on Burndennet. New Buildings face Strabane. Brady up against Bonds Glen. Ballyspallan take on Eglinton. Fox Lodge face Coleraine. St Johnstone play Brigade. The Ned face Dunamana, and Glendermot are going to Killyclooney. 8 fixtures in the opening round of the Senior Cup. And then on Sunday, there is also 7 further games to come to be played in both sections of the Northwest Premier League. So there you go. That is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed it, you will be able to log on to our website, highlandradio.com, and you'll be able to recap tonight's programme in the playback section. Our next sport here in Highland, tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.